We're beginning here on the top of Ayin Chet Amun Aleph, about 8 lines down. Amar Rav Huna, Amud Birshut Rabim Gvoa Asara V'Rachav Arba'a. You have a pillar, a post, in the middle of the Birshut Rabim, which is 10 tvachim high and 4 tvachim wide. V'na'atz bo yateid koshu. And then on the top, puts in a peg, a nail of some sort on the top of it. Mi'ato. Now he's ruined it from being a Rishut Yachid. Until this point, it was 10 tvachim high, 4 tvachim wide. It qualifies as a Rishut Yachid. And therefore, if someone threw something or took something from the Rishut Rabim and placed it on top, or vice versa, they would be chayav achatat, which is shogeg, skilav, who's done b'mezid, because it's a full-fledged Rishut Yachid. But by putting a peg or a nail on the top of it, you've now reduced the area of the 4 fachim that can be utilized. And since you've done that, you've now taken it out of being a Rishut Yachid. Amar avader ba'ava ubigvoa shlosha. That peg or that nail has to protrude outward at least 3 tfachim in order to separate it or make it distinct from the remainder of the top of this post or pillar. So it's 4 tfachim on the top. If you have this peg or nail that's sticking out, then it reduces it as long as it's separate or distinct from the remainder of the 4 tfachim that are up there. That's why it reduces it. Abai v'rava damrei tovayu afo pi she'en gvoa shlosha. Even if it's not 3 tefachim high, my time alo mishtamishle. Doesn't have to be 3 tefachim high in order to separate or segregate it from the remainder of the 4 tefachim, because it's all about utility here. Is it functional? Are you able to utilize it? You cannot utilize the 4 tefachim in whole because of this peg or nail that's there. That reduces it below the 4 tefachim, and that's what caused the problem over here. Ravashi amar afilu shigvoa shlosha. Ravashi says just the opposite. Even if it's 3 tefachim high or higher, it's still a Rishut Yachid, my taima. Efshe detali beimide. It's still functional. It might not be all be able to use in one shot, but you could hang a hat on the top of that nail or that peg. You could put something on top of it. So it is still functional, the nail part. And that means you have an entire 4 tefachim that has utility, and that makes it into a Rishut Yachid. We have opinions here that span the entire spectrum. That is, all the way from the side that says that this is not a problem whatsoever, this peg, even if it's above 3 tefachim, which is the opinion of Rav Ashi. And the other opinions that say that even if the peg is below 3 tvachim, it is still a problem. That's a bai v'rova. And then in between them, we have the other opinion, which is Rav Adar Ba'avo says that above 3 is problematic, below 3 is not problematic. Amar le Rav Acha b'rei d'rova l'Rav Ashi, malu kul obi yateidot. If they fill the entire thing with these pegs or nails, mahu, what's the din? Male lo shmila chadama Rabbi Yochanan. You didn't hear what Rabbi Yochanan said that would have answered this question for you? Bor v'chuliyata mitzaref la'asara. When you have a pit, a ditch, a cistern that is dug out of the ground, and the dirt that you took out to empty out that area you place around the side, so it has a rim around it, it has a piles of dirt around the top, then they are mitzaref la'asara. They add up to make the 10 tvachim. So if you dig out a bore, for instance, that's 5 tvachim deep, and then you place the dirt that you removed up on top of the bore at the rim of the bore, and you pile it up 5 tvachim, between the bore itself and the chuliyah, the additional dirt that you place on top, that will add up to be the 10 tvachim. We're not actually interested in that over here because the 10 tvachim is not our issue. Our issue is the 4 tvachim wide. And our question relates to a post in which he puts a lot of pegs or he puts nails on top of it. Now before, Rav Ashi suggested because it had utility, then it's not a problem. But that's when you have a single peg or a single nail. And then you can hang something on it. But if you have the entire thing covered in nails or pegs, it becomes useless. There is no utility to it anymore. So now Rav Ashi says, you didn't hear what Rabbi Yochanan had said about this Mishnah, about bor, where you empty out the contents of the inside of the bor and place them around the side, they add up to 10. Not only do they add up to 10 in height, but they also are allowed to have the width, and they affect the width of this. If it's not 4 tvachim wide in the internal space of the bor, but as you come up to the top, if you include not only the airspace that goes down into the bor, but also the chuliyah, the area that's around the dirt that's been piled up around it, you get on the top of the surface 4 tvachim. Over there, Rabbi Yochanan was going to say the same thing, that the chuliyah and the bor together add up to the 4 tvachim. So how is that possible? Vamai. Why is that possible? Alam ishtamishle, you can't utilize it. If the entire space in the middle is open and drops down into a pit, then why is that have utility, the entire 4 tvachim? It's only the edges that have utility. Alamai yitl cholameymar. So how are we going to explain Rabbi Yochanan's position? The manach midei mishtamish. He places a bor down on top of it, and then he utilizes it. He's able to place something across the top. Achanami, in our case as well, the marchmidei mishtamish. So if you have the entire thing filled with pegs or nails, as long as you can place a board or a cloth on top and make it functional, then that also will make you chayav. So just because it has these items on top of it does not negate its effect of being a rishut yachid, because it does have utility, it does have function, as long as you just place something on top of it. So if then you took something off the top of the chulia and took it down, even without a board there, you'd be chayav as if it's in reshut yachid. And same thing here with the post that has the pegs on top, you'll be chayav as if it is a reshut yachid, even though you would have to place a board or something there in order to make it functional. Because you can, that's enough to make it into reshut yachid. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmo, Kotel Asara. If you have a wall that is 10 tefachim high, Tzarech Sulam Arba'a Asar Lahatiro. You need a ladder that is 14 tefachim in height in order to be matirit. We'll go with Rashi's pshat up front, and then we'll come back and explain some of the issues and what Tosavot says. Rashi says that the ladder is 4 tefachim away from the wall. The base of the ladder is at least 4 tefachim away from the wall. Plus, you have the height of the wall. So if it's away from the wall, 4 tefachim, and you want to get up to the top of the wall with 10 tefachim, that's how you get the number 14. 14 tefachim means that it touches the top of the wall. The obvious problem with what Rashi is saying is, he's taking the two sides of the isosceles triangle. The truth is, the ladder sits along the hypotenuse. And if that's the case, then 10 plus 4, 14 tefachim, is certainly not the hypotenuse of the ladder that's laying with a base 4 tefachim out and 10 tefachim high. It's obviously less than 14 tefachim. And that's the problem with Rashi's pshat, and we'll come back and try to explain it. But in the meantime, we'll move through the Gemara based on what Rashi says. We have a statement from Shmuel who says that the ladder must reach the top of the wall. Rav Yosef Amar, Afilu Shloshasr Umashu. Even if the ladder is only 13 tefachim and a little more, that suffices in order to be classified as a petach. Over here, we're having the ladder up against the wall. We want to classify the ladder as being a petach and allow the two chatzerot to make an eruv together. In order to allow that, the ladder has to function as a petah, or basically has to negate the mechitza that's in front of us for 4 tefachim wide. So here, we have Rav Yosef saying that not like Shmuel, who says you have to have it sit 4 tefachim away from the base and reach the top of the wall, but rather, it has to sit 4 tefachim away from the base, but only has to reach up till 9 plus of the wall. And what remains of the wall is less than a tefach. Since it's less than a tefach, it's insignificant, and we don't worry about it. Even 11 and a little more is sufficient. Because, again, if you take out the 4 tefachim for the base, and that leaves you with 7 plus a little more, that means that then there's less than 3 tefachim from the top of the ladder to the top of the wall. If that's the case, it's less than lavud, and it's considered to be insignificant. The ladder can be even 7 and a little more. Now, that statement of Rav Huna, Breid Rav Yeshua, is only said in the position of Rav. Because I'm a Rav, Sulam Zakuf, Mima'et. Rav has a position that an upright ladder is Mima'et. We had this similar to what we saw before in the Gemara in yesterday's Da, which is that even when you have an Itztaba, Gabi Itztaba, which the Gemara is about to discuss here, that if you reduce the distance between the base of the wall and the top of the wall to less than 10 tefachim, that's enough to make it into a petach. So based on that, Rav Huna Breid Yehoshua says that even if you have a ladder that's 7 and a little more, if you press it straight up against the wall, it's not functional because you would have to have it on an angle to make it functional. But that doesn't matter. As long as the ladder here reduces the distance between the base and the top of the wall, over there we say that then it is considered to be a petach, and that's all you need over here. So this is set in Rav's position where it can be up against the wall, and that's enough to reduce it. So if it's 7 and a little more, you're less than 3 for tefachim from the top, and that's why it's considered to be insignificant, and that's fine, as long as the ladder is pressed up against the wall. Amar Rav, Rav says, Sulam Zakuf Mema'it. I know that that's true. Gemara, I have a Misora, that's true. V'lo yadana, my taima. I don't know the reason why that is true. So Amar Shmuel, V'lo yadana, Abba, taima. Abba is a term of both respect and affinity between Shmuel and Rav. Rav being Abba, whether that's his real name or, again, it's a name that was given to him out of respect, similar to Rav. Shmuel says about Rav, Lo yada Abba, time da milta. How come Rav doesn't understand the reason behind this? Mida da Abba itzba, gabi itzba. How is this different than the platform on top of the platform that we saw in yesterday's daf? In yesterday's daf, we saw that if a platform, the base platform, is a minimum of 4 tefachim wide, according to Rashi, according to Tosafot, 4 tefachim wide and 4 tefachim deep, then it's mima'et. It reduces the amount from the top of the itzba to the top of the wall. If it's less than 10 tefachim, you now have a petach there. If it's not that wide, but there's another itzba on top of it, there's another platform on top of it, as long as that platform is 4x4 tefachim wide, according to Tosafot Rashi, just 4 tefachim wide, it reduces the wall as long as it's within 3 tefachim of the lower platform, because then it's considered as if it's sitting on the ground. So just like over there by the platforms, when they reduce the height between them and the top of the wall by building up from the bottom, so too the ladder functions in the same way. And that's the reasoning over here. Tosafot mentioned in yesterday's daf that the difference between our Gemara here and there is that over there they're reducing the height, but they don't reach the top of the wall. So over there we require 4x4 tefachim, 4 tefachim wide and 4 tefachim deep. Over here we only require 4 tefachim wide because the ladders are essentially reaching the top of the wall. either the top of the wall or within a range of the top of the wall that's considered to be insignificant, whether that's under a tefach or under three tvachim. So that's the reasoning over here. It should work, Shmuel says, according to Rav. Why does Rav say an upright ladder works? An upright ladder is no worse than an itzdaba. And since it reduces the distance between the base of the ground and the top of the wall, that's enough to consider it to be a petach, even though it's not functional. Now, as far as Rashi's pshat, it's clear that there's a problem with Rashi's pshat, in the sense that the hypotenuse does not equal whatever you need, four tefachim away from the base, plus the height of the wall, which is what Rashi is saying over here. So Tosafot already says that, perishakunchis, velodak. He wasn't careful about this. Techi mashik le'yut tefachim, nami min hakotel. Even if you were to pull the base of the ladder 10 tefachim away from the wall, and to have it be upright 10 tefachim, that means that the two sides of the triangle are 10 tefachim and 10 tefachim, the hypotenuse of that triangle is 14 tefachim. Because the Gemara thinks that the hypotenuse in Pythagorean's theorem is the square root of 2, which is equal to 1.4 for them. So 10 times 1.4 is 14 tefachim. So if you have a ladder that's 14 tefachim high, forget about 4 tefachim away from the base, you can go even 10 tefachim away from the base. And then it will work out that it reaches the top of the wall. So he says it's clear here that Rashi wasn't being exact in his numbers. But then he moves on to the next statement, which is Rabbi Yosef, who says you need 13 and a little more. Well, if it's 10 tefachim away from the base, then at 13 and a little more, you're not going to get to where Rabbi Yosef wants on the wall, which is within a tefach of the top of the wall. It doesn't work, and certainly not when we move down to the lower numbers, where Abaye suggests that the height of the sulam is 11 and a little bit, it'll barely touch the wall at 10 tefachim away from the wall. So that cannot be the proper explanation over here. It can't be like Rashi says it's 4 tefachim away, then the ladders are too tall. Can't be like what Tosafot just explained before, that's 10 tefachim away from base, because then the ladders are too short. So what the Re says in the end is that it's Simona Be'alma, that the numbers that they're using here are just indications of what they're trying to accomplish. Tosafot says, and you don't necessarily have to say this, you could say this even in the Pshat of Rashi, that the numbers are Siman. How tall does the ladder have to be? Rashi says you have to have a ladder that's base is more than 4 tefachim away and 10 tefachim high on the wall. So the Gemara just adds those together and goes 14 tefachim. That's not the real height of the ladder, just a siman about what type of ladder you need in order to reach that height. So you need it to be 4 tefachim away from the base, 10 tall. Find me a ladder that does that on the hypotenuse. And the same with the opinions afterwards. They're all using 4 tefachim away from the wall base and assuming that the ladder reaches up to this height. They're not giving me the height of the ladder, they're giving me the dimensions of the vertical and horizontal dimensions. That you could say in Rashi. Tosafot, on the other hand, says it's a Simano Ba'almo, and the way it works here is that the base and the height are always the same. Whatever height you're trying to create on the wall, that's the same as the number of the base that you have here. Doesn't work exactly. The reason Tosafot might have led in that direction is because, even though Pythagorean's theorem is around, the Gemara only has a solution with Pythagorean's theorem when it's an isosceles triangle, when you have the two sides be equal, then it has the hypotenuse is the square root of 2 or 1.4. And that's the only calculation. Other places in Shas, Rashi tries to apply that to uneven sides of a triangle, and Tosafot points out it just doesn't work. It's not right. So it's possible here that Tosafot set up the case in a way that he could calculate the number, which is that the vertical and the horizontal numbers are equal, because then he can calculate the hypotenuse. Now again, we said it before, but the biggest ladder, if it's 10 high and 10 on the base, that's 14. Then you move down to the next numbers. If you have it 9 by 9, then for Rav Yosef, you'll have a ladder that is 13 tefachim minus 2/5, which turns out to be a 9 by 9, a 9 base, 9 high on the wall, which will bring you, if you have the ladder at 13 or a little more, it brings it up below tefach away from the top of the wall, which is what you want over here. And for Abaye, he'll have a case where he wants it to be less than 3 tefachim away from the top, so he'll have it 7 tefachim away from the base, 7 tall, which brings you to a number that is 9.8 tefachim, according to the Gemara's calculation, which is if you have 10 and a little more, you'll get above that number. The only question is, why do they need the mashahu then, which Tosafot points out? But either way, you have to explain this Gemara in a broader sense and not in exact numbers, because the numbers don't work out exactly. Now the Gemara moves on. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Chiya. Dikalim shebebavel. If you have logs of the palm trees that you place up against the wall, einan tzrichim keva, they do not have to be placed there permanently in order to reduce the height of the wall and to make it that it's considered like a petach. My taima, what's the reason? Something we saw yesterday by the sulam tzuri, which is kvedam kovatan. Their weight leaves them in place. They're so heavy that people don't move them on a regular basis. So even though you don't have intent to leave them permanently, we're not going to move them on a willy-nilly basis. Not like the basket where you could just pick it up and move it, unless there's a problem of muksa or some other mitigating factor. But here, it's so heavy that you're not going to move it on a regular basis. So if it's there coming into Shabbat, we assume it'll be there for the entire Shabbat, and it functions as a petach. Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Hoshaya, Sulamot Shebavel, Enam Tzurchim Keva. The ladders in Bavel do not require a keva, a permanent state. They don't have to be left there on a permanent basis. Even though we said yesterday, if the ladders aren't left there on a permanent basis, they don't function as a petach. Why is that? My tamak veidam kovatan. Again, the weight here makes it that people do not move them on a regular basis. Rashbam says that the sulamot shebavel here are equal to the sulam tsuri that we saw yesterday. Sulam tsuri is a ladder that has less than four rungs. It only has three rungs on it. And because of its weight, we don't move it. Tosafot does not like that comparison that the Rashbam makes, because over there, the Gemara says, Kuli Alma, everybody says a sulam tsuri, nobody moves. But over here, we have someone who argues on this sulamot bavel, which we'll see in a second. And if he says it's a different ladder, and Abzida, both of them are heavy, and because they're heavy, you don't move them, even though, in terms of Keva, they're not permanently placed there. Nevertheless, they count towards a petach, because people aren't going to move them on a regular basis. Manda mar sulamot koshukein de galim. The one who says that the ladder is heavy, and therefore it's Keva, certainly the logs from the palm tree are going to be even heavier, and he won't move those. Those are Keva. Manda mar de galim. The one who says about the logs from the palm tree of a sulamot lo. He will say that sulamot don't count over here, and so that's what Tosafot points out, that here you have someone arguing on sulamot de Bavel, but nobody argued on the sulamot de Tsuri. So they must be different types of ladders. Barmine Rav Yosef me Rabo. Rav Yosef querying Rabo, a number of questions coming up here. Sulamikan with sulamikan. If you have two ladders going up the wall, neither of which is four tvachim wide. But then, v'kashim be'emtza, they place straw between the ladders. For instance, they have rungs on these two ladders going up, but they're narrower than four tvachim. In order to make it as four tvachim across, they take pieces of straw, and they put them between the ladders, as if they are rungs. They're not functional rungs, they're just straw that sits there in order to make them wide enough to be the four tvachim. Mahu, what's the din? Amalei, ein kafa regalo la behen, says, people don't go up in a ladder that way. That you can't walk on the straw to climb up. So therefore, it's not considered a ladder. Kashin mikan me kashin mikan. What happens if you have a ladder in the middle? It's not wide enough. So you add on rungs on the side that are made out of straw, the sulam bemsuk, and the ladder is placed in the middle. Mahu. Can you use that? Amalei, harekav regal olebehen. There, somebody can climb up them, ascend them, because it's not a problem. As Rashi points out, there's a difference over here, because when a person climbs up a ladder, they climb up with their feet one on top of the other, or very close together. So when the ladder goes up in the middle, it is both functional and meets the halachic requirements. Now, functional, because the ladder's in the middle and you could climb up it easily. Halachic requirements is four tvachim wide. You did that by extending it with the straw. So even though you can't climb that area, it still has the halachic width that you need now, and that's why it's a petach. In the case by the two ladders with the straw strung between them, over there, you're missing the functional part. Yes, halachically, you have your four tvachim, but they're not functional. Nobody can climb up the ladder like that because nobody puts their feet out on the two sides and tries to climb up in that manner. So that's not functional, and that's why it doesn't work. So Rabbah gave the psak by the two ladders and the straw in between as being no, whereas the ladder with the straw on the outside, that would be yes, and that would work to reduce the wall or consider it to be a petach over here. Chakak la'ashlim b'kotel b'kamo. If he carves into the wall, how much does he have to carve in the wall in order to extend the ladder? The ladder is narrower than four tvachim, and now in order to make it four tvachim wide, he wants to carve into the wall to make the rungs or extend the rungs by carving into the wall. That's the way Rashi explains it. Tosafot, on the other hand, says, the Chukim Lashlim over here is where the ladder is found in the corner of two walls. It's up, flush against the wall there. And you carve into the wall to then extend the rungs of the ladder to go up. Or we're talking about a case where the wall is shupa. It's on an angle. It's on a slant. And he puts the ladder on it. And then he carves on the side of it stairs going up. So they match up with the rungs of the ladder. That's the way Tosafot says the Chukim Lashlim is. Rashi explains it simply as extending the rungs of the ladder. So Amalei Basara, all you need is 10 tvachim. Amalei Chakok, Bulo Bekotol Bekama. If you had no ladder here, and all he did was carve the steps, according to Rashi, into the wall, or, according to Tosafot, he does it into the corner of the wall, or on the slope he puts in these stairs, how high up do you have to have these stairs go? Amalei Malo Komato. You have to go the entire height. Amalei Maishna. What's the difference? How come when the ladder's there, and you need to make it halachically okay by extending it to 4 tvachim, you only have to go up 10 tvachim on the ladder? On the other hand, when it comes to the wall without the ladder, you're telling me I have to go all the way up to the top. Amalei, hoto mistalek le, hoko lo mistalek le. It has to do with the difference between how it's working over here. In the case by the ladder reaches the top of the wall. So in terms of function utility, you can reach the top of the wall through the ladder. What we're missing is the halachic width that we need. So that we do by carving into the wall. The halachic width only has to be up to 10 tefachim high, a 4 tefachim wide, And then it's already considered to be as if you have the halachic requirement of petach, and then the sulam, the ladder, carries you to the top. On the other hand, when you're carving into the wall, you can't reach the top unless you take the stairs or you take the carving all the way up to the top. So it's not considered to be a petach unless you can reach the top, and that means you must carve all the way up. The Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, explains that. What does it mean that it gets up to 10 tefachim? You only go up 10 tefachim on the ladder. You have to go up on the stairs till you're less than 10 tefachim away from the top. So you have to add on to the ladder, the carvings by the ladder, until you're less than 10 tefachim from the top. The remainder doesn't have to be covered either by the ladder or the carvings, because you're less than 10 tefachim away from the top. As opposed to when you just have the wall itself, then you have to go up to the top of the wall. Again, for the same reason, which is the ability to reach the top of the wall or reduce it below the 10 tefachim that you need. Rav Yosef me Rabba. Rav Yosef now has another question for Rabba. Asoli ilan sulam. You made the tree into the ladder to get over the wall. There's a tree growing there, and now you're going to use the tree to get over the wall as a petach. Mau, what's the din? The obvious problem here is that you're not allowed to climb on a tree on Shabbat. It's mukse. So can it function as a petach or not? Gemara says, Tibai the Rabbi, Tibai the Rabbonah. It's a machloket Rabbi and the Rabbonah early in the Mesechta with regards to Isurei the Rabbanan or Takanot the Rabbanan, Ben HaShmashot. Rabbi says that the Gzeirot Chachamim, Tekanot Chachamim do not apply Ben HaShmashot, whereas the Rabbanan say they do apply Ben HaShmashot. This came up in the case of Erev Tchumim, where a person puts his Erev Tchumim in a tree which he cannot climb up on Shabbat. Nevertheless, because Erev Tchumim are Koneh Ben HaShmashot, and Ben HaShmashot, Rabbi says there are no Gzeirot Chachamim, you could have Ben HaShmashot climbed up the tree, gotten your Erev Tchumim, and coming back down to the Rishut Rabbim. Since it was accessible, Ben HaShmashot, it works, the Erev Tchumim. The Rabbanan say there's no such dispensation. We don't waive the Surah the Rabbanan Ben HaShmashot, and therefore the Eruv is not a good Eruv. So the Gemara, based on what Rabbi Yosef asked the Rabbah, Rabbi Yosef says the question applies to both of their opinions, which is, if it's a question in Rabbi's position, it's a question in the Rabbanan's position. To buy the Rabbi, it's a question in Rabbi's position. Over there, Rabbi only said it was okay, because anything that is a Shvut, an Isur the Rabbanan, they were not gozer on it, but that's Hanimile Ben HaShmashot. That's only when we're talking about twilight, when we're talking about dusk. At that point, they're not goes there. But on Shabbat itself, they're goes there. By Erev Tchumin, where the whole period of time that matters is Ben HaShmashot, then you're fine. But by Erev Chatzerot, over here, where you need it to be Aval Kul Yom, no, the whole day, Erev Chatzerot lasts for the whole day, then the Petach might have to be available and usable for the entire day. So that's the question. Does Rabbi say that by Erev Tchumin, and that's it? But by Erev Chatzerot, he would not apply it, because it's only Ben HaShmashot that we waive it. Or even by Erev Chatzerot, would he say the same thing? Because Ben HaShmashot was okay, and that's enough. If it's classified as a petach Ben HaShmashot, that's enough to allow you to be ma'ariv, to make it into a single eruv. Odil ma'afil Rabbanan, that over there say it's asur, that's because over there you have an isur dirabbanan. An isur dirabbanan that doesn't allow you to access your eruv. But over here, pitchohu, in terms of function, in terms of reality, you have a doorway here. If it wasn't Shabbat, you could climb up this tree and go over it without any problem. It's not an issue at all. But they're just a lion there sitting over there telling you don't do it. So in terms of the reality, we have a doorway. That may be enough to allow you to make an Erev Chatzerot between the two Chatzerot on either side of this wall. You don't have to actually be functional. It simply has to be that it's plausible that you can get over there, not on Shabbat. But by the case of Erev Tchumin, where we need to get access on Shabbat itself, and to utilize it on Shabbat, Ben HaShmashot, there we won't waive the Isurei Derabanan. The Isurei Derabanan are an impediment to him making Erev Tchumin. But over here, the Isurei Derabanan are just telling you can't use the doorway, but it doesn't mean that the doorway is not there. The doorway is actually there. Then he asked him a additional question. If he said, Asul Asherah Sulam Mahu, if he used a tree of Avodah Zarah and Asherah as the ladder, what would be the din over here? This is Rabbi Yosef asking as an Imtim Salomar. If you say, by the other case, it is considered to be a doorway, just because the Isurei Derabanan doesn't ruin it, what about an Asherah? When you take Avodah Zarah, we're talking about an Isur Daraita of getting Hanoah from it, Avodah Zarah, and you use that as the ladder to make the doorway. So Tibai the Rabbi Yehuda, Tibai the Rabbanan. This will be a question both according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, who argue earlier in the Masechta with regards to putting an Erev Tchumin on a Kever. If you put an Erev Tchumin on a Kever, does it function, does it work, or not? The Rabbanan say it does not work because you have an Isur Hana'ah, you're not allowed to benefit from a Kever. And since you're not allowed to benefit from the kever, when you put the Erev Tchumin on the kever, it doesn't work, because you're not allowed to utilize the kever. And so you're out of the picture, doesn't work at all. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says, wait a minute, by Erev Tchumin, you're only allowed to put down Erev Tchumin to do a mitzvah. If that's the case, we know, mitzvot lav lehenot nitnu. When a person does a mitzvah, they're not for his personal benefit, or we do not consider it to be personal benefit for him. If that's the case, then there's no problem putting on a kever because he's not getting any hana from it. The only question has to do with after that. After the Eruv is Kohen Ben Hashmashot, does he care whether the Eruv stays or not? The Rabbanan say yes. Even though he was Kohen the Eruv Ben Hashmashot, he wants the food to stay there because then when he gets there, he can eat it. He can utilize it. So he wants it to stay around. If that's the case, then Ben Hashmashot, it worked. But the problem is that afterwards he has Yisurei Hana there. And because of that, it ruins the Eruv and it doesn't work at all. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says that Ben Hashmashot was a mitzvah. Ben Hashmashot is a mitzvah, then it was no problem. After that, he couldn't care less if the Eruv gets lost. Because he doesn't need it anymore. It did what it was supposed to do, what it was designated to do, and after that he doesn't care about it. So now, that same machloket will have application over here, which is Tibai l'Rabbi Yehuda and Tibai l'Rabbonon. We can ask the question in both of their positions with regards to this. Tibai l'Rabbi Yehuda, ad ganokam Rabbi Yehuda atam demutar liknot bayit b'Yisurei Hana'ah, that you can make an Erev Tchumim and a Kona Shvita and Yisurei Hana'ah, elohotom. Over there, debatu d'gana le'Erev lo nechalei l'lintar. Because there, once the Eruv goes into effect, he couldn't care less what happens to the Eruv, and therefore he's not getting any hanah from the kever. But, over here, maybe because he wants the doorway to be there, and he wants the doorway to remain there forever, he wants to be able to climb over this, have the sulam there on a regular basis, maybe that is considered to be hanah. And it's also not done for a mitzvah, as opposed to over there by Eruv Tchumin. Odilma on the other side, afilu rabbanan pitchuhu, the Arya der Vilei. The Rabbanan will say the same thing that we just said before in the position of the Rabbanan, which is, over there, the problem is that you're going to get Hanoa by storing the Eruv on the kever, and that's why we don't allow it. Over here, all we care about is there a doorway or not a doorway? There's a doorway. You can't utilize it? That doesn't matter to us. All we care is that you have a doorway. If they have a doorway, you can be Ma'ari Biyachat. Now here, it's a little more difficult, because in general, when we talk about Asherah, we say Ketute Michtat Shurei, which we'll see in Tuda from now, which is that we don't classify as if it has any presence there whatsoever. It's as if it doesn't exist. So Tosafot later on mentions that even though generally we say Ketute Michtat Shurei, as if the Shurim don't exist, but the Chazal determined in certain cases they are Machmir for it, and certain cases they don't worry about it. And that is because over here, since it's a Petach, technically, can you climb up this ladder? Yes. Even though halachically we tell you so if it doesn't exist, practically you could climb the ladder and get over there. So if that's the case, then the Chachamim were not machmir over there because the shiur doesn't matter. What matters here is, can you climb this ladder to get over it? So the answer is yes. Can you do it now? Can you do it at all? No, because it's an Isur Hana'ah. So what you have is a doorway that just can't be utilized. And it can't be utilized because of the Isur Hana'ah. And since all we care about is it's a doorway, the shiur for Tefachim wide is simply just to determine that it is a petach, but we don't really require that number of four tefachim. It doesn't have meaning outside of the fact that it's a petach, since it is functionally a petach, cannot be utilized, but if I look at it, it is a petach, that's enough. That's one way to look at it. The Rashba, on the other hand, looks at it at that. There's a possibility, if you have a goy who comes as Vivato the Avodah Zarah, it could be utilized. So since there's a possibility of utilizing it, that's enough to allow you to use it here, even though there's an Isser right now that's preventing you from utilizing it. So now the Gemara says, what did Rabbah respond to Rabbi Yosef? Amalei, Ilan Mutar Vashira Asura, what we would expect, which is that the Ilan, the tree is Mutar, because that's only an Isur Derabbanan, Vashira Asura, because we're there, we're dealing with an Isur Del Raitam. At Kiblo Rav Chista, the Rabbah. Says just the opposite. Ilan, Shisur Shabbat Gorem Lo Nitzar. The Ilan where the problem is an Isur in Shabbat, it's an internal problem in Shabbat, then it should be problematic. Asherei she'isur devar acher goreim lo, lo nitzar. By the Asherah, where it's an external, exogenous isur, there it should not be problematic. So what he is saying is it has nothing to do with Rabbanan d'oraita, but rather whether this is a Shabbos problem, or is this another problem. With regards to the tree, the reason you can't go on the tree is because it's Shabbat. The reason that you need to get over this tree to make it a petach is it's Shabbat. So now I have a problem or tension within Shabbat itself. Over there, we're not going to let you do it, and it won't be a petach. On the other hand, when I'm dealing with the Asherah, as far as Shabbat is concerned, it's detached from the ground. I have it there. I could climb over it as a ladder. From the standpoint of Shabbat, I have a ladder. I have a doorway. I'm totally fine. Now, from the perspective of Avodah Zarah, I have a problem, which is Isur Hana'ah. And again, we'll have to invoke Tosfot or the Reshbah to explain this over here. Either Tosfot who says that we don't care about Shiurim here. We just care that it's a Petach. Or the Reshbah, the possibility of Mimavato it, Ayudea Goy, would make it Mutar in another circumstance, means that this external, exogenous Isur doesn't ruin the fact that it is a Petach Legabe Shabbat. Itmarnami, we have another member that supports that, Ki'at the Ravin, Amar Abelozar. So when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, we've seen this a lot, Ravin and Rabdimi traveled between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, and they bring Memrod from the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael. The main Amora who they bring Memrod from is Rabbi Yochanan. Over here, they're bringing a memra from Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, who's a Talmid, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, who's the Amora, who is a Talmid of Rabbi Yochanan. So they're bringing the memra from Elazar, but it's going to be in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Kol she'isur Shabbat garam lo asur. Anything that the problem stems from Isur and Shabbat, that's problematic, and you cannot use it. It's not considered a petah. Kol she'isur devar acher garem lo mutar. Anything that an external Isur, exogenous Isur, causes the problem, that is mutar, and it is considered to be a petah on Shabbat. Nachman Yitzchak matne hochi. Nachman Yitzchak had it this way. Ilan, plukta, the Rabbi Rabbanan. The tree is the same machloka we have by Tchumin with regards to whether the air of Tchumin is functional or not when it's put on the tree. So too, Rebbe and the Rabbanan are going to argue here in a similar manner. And Asherah, the case of Asherah, plukta de Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. The same way they argue by Kever and Erev Tchumim, they're going to argue over here. Even though Tosafot points out, back there the Gemara said that everybody agrees that you can't use Isurei Hana to make an Erev Tchumin. It's only a question if you put it onto an Isurei Hana, is it okay? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak obviously doesn't hold of that position back there, because here we're talking about Isurei Hana. He's comparing the machloket of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan by the case of placing it on an Isurei Hana to something that is Isurei Hana. So he obviously doesn't subscribe to that understanding or qualification back in the Gemara, and he says that the same machloket we had there applies over here. Okay, we'll stop over here.